Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome, Diana, from far away. So good to see you again. So, I passed this out last week, a list of the various translations of the Bodhicaryavatara. Cultivating Awakening Mind. Cultivating the mind of bodhicitta. Thank you. By far the most thorough book, I think, is the No Time to Lose by Pema Chodron. It's a brand new book. And it consists not only of a translation, but with a running commentary all the way through. So there'll be two or three verses, and then she'll have something to say about them, and then some more verses, chapter by chapter. And it's a very wise book. But any of the other ones are very useful, and unlike the Dhammapada, where the translations were often very different from each other, amazing amount of difference. There's very little difference in any of the translations that I've seen. They all sound pretty much the same. This one I brought just because it's so light. It's a little tiny book with very small print. It's a translation from the Sanskrit. Originally it was thought to be sort of the best because it was the most original. But then the Tibetans started translating the Tibetan version, which was translated from the Sanskrit into the Tibetan early on, before they started messing around with the Sanskrit hundreds of years later. So now it appears that the Tibetan version is actually closer to the old one than this one, including the fact that there are a couple of chapters that are separated in the Sanskrit and are all one chapter in the Tibetan. It doesn't matter to us, those things, but it's well to know that it's all coming from a very deep past, and it's come to us in a fairly clear way, which is a very wonderful thing. They found some years ago, not so many years ago, a cave full of treasures, full of manuscripts that had been hidden away on the Silk Road, way up in the desert, the Dungwang Caves. And they found a Sanskrit version of that was much closer to the Tibetan version than the one that they had been working from. So, you know, putting two and two together, they're figuring it out how it all came to us. It's one of the most essential. It's not a sutra, it's a poem. Which all by itself is interesting and lovely. There are three main sections. So the first three chapters are a kind of clump about the true nature of mind. And then the second three chapters are a kind of confession and instructions on how to maintain bodhicitta. The first set is how to stimulate the bodhicitta that we somehow get a glimpse of every now and then in ourselves. like a flash of lightning in the dark of night is one of the images he uses. Just occasionally there'll be a little insight. Oh. So the second one are the instructions on how to intensify bodhicitta. And then the last one is maintain is the second one and intensify is the third one, I guess, is how they put it. So it's about how to cultivate and recognize our true nature, the reality of us. So, Shantideva lived around 700 in the Christian era. He was a monk. He was a teacher at Nalanda University. And put this together, he says, to instruct himself. And perhaps if somebody else found it useful, they were welcome to it. So it comes to us not as some kind of moralistic finger shaking and saying, you must do this, but an offering, a gesture of generosity. It's old, and it's written by a monk, so there are things in it that are strange for us. So as we read, it's helpful to remember that. And as Buddha always said, take what's useful and let go the rest. Generally speaking, it's pretty useful. So it's about bodhisattva practice, and as we've spoken before, it's to give up one's personal cause for the sake of all beings. Enlightening being is what a bodhisattva is. Awakening being or enlightenment being. Not an enlightened being, but one with enlightenment as the subject of their life. As bodhicitta, as the subject of the life. Bodhicitta, Pema Chodron says, bodhicitta is our flexible, unbiased wisdom mind. So although it sounds very fancy because it's a Sanskrit word, it's just our unbiased mind. What we say in English is open-minded. So bodhi means enlightenment. As I said last week, Koban named our group, our first group, bodhi, and alarmed us because it sounded so formidable. Enlightenment? Our Sangha is named Enlightenment? And citta means mind or thought or attitude. So an attitude toward awakening, you could say. there are two levels, and those are pointed out in this first chapter. The first chapter is on the benefits of bodhicitta. So Shantideva points out all the great things about it, and also points out that there are two levels, the relative level and the absolute. In the relative level, it's longing and aspiration for enlightenment. And on the absolute level, it's actually observing and engaging in open-mindedness to enact and live our life as open-minded wisdom. So we begin in a very humble way. And when we chant the Metta Sutra, it points us there. That line, even as a mother at the risk of her life watches over and protects her only child, so with a boundless mind should one cherish all living things. It's that kind of mind in small, because each one of us is that mind. Our small life as a part of that great boundless mind to which we open, of which we are opened. Now, there's a lot of talk about good and evil in this first chapter, and all the commentaries are very quick to point out that it's a different kind of good and evil from the Judeo-Christian tradition that we grow up with. In Buddhist terms, good and bad is about karma. What's bad or unwholesome are the attitudes that cause suffering. And karma itself is about cause and effect. There's no divinely ordained rule about what's transgressive and what's good. It's how things work out moment by moment. How things support and nourish life. Or how sometimes they go the other way. And a bodhisattva doesn't have an agenda about that. Isn't moralistic about that, but accepts each thing as it comes, and then from what is experienced can act, rather than meeting each thing with an already formed idea and then imposing that idea on the situation. It's a very simple difference, really. And yet, most of the time, we are at much more ease in reacting than in stopping long enough to know enough to directly act on a situation. So this practice is about developing the skill to actually open up to each situation that we meet, even the smallest ones, even picking up a fork. So bodhisattvas vow to deliver beings from the causes of their suffering. And so they're really vowing to address suffering itself and not the person. One of the ways we get entangled is to become so personality oriented that our own personality and the other person's personality, the other, become polarized. And with bodhisattva practice, we stand in the middle between subject and object, where the true meeting is taking place all the time. So as a result, all beings are worthy of the compassion of a bodhisattva. It's the situation itself, not the person, not the ideas. There's some talk about samsara and the difference between nirvana and samsara. And Shanti Deva talks in the first chapter about rescuing people from samsara, or dealing with samsara. Samsara meaning this world. As opposed to nirvana. This world where we are so imperfect and suffer so much. Einstein, this is another Pema Chodron quote, defined samsara as doing the same thing over and over and thinking we'll get different results. So samsara is also a function of the mind. This whole teaching is about how our mind comports itself and how the mind can change, that we can change ourselves. We don't have to stay stuck. It's a very happy message. It's a merciful message. So, as I've said before, it's not about sending out blessings to everyone from our slightly superior position. It's as humility itself, willing to be out where everyone is. And to be completely impartial. Not to take sides. I don't know whether you've read it at all yet. I know it's been on the web and the email. So we said last week that we weren't going to read all the way through each one. I think the chapters are pretty long, but it's hard to talk about it if you haven't read it. I mean, it's hard for me to talk about it if you haven't read it. So I would suggest, it's not a very long peace. This one has a chapter in front of each one, each chapter, so that makes it a longer book, but the actual one is pretty short. In fact, that green book is just the... And that's a good one to read because it's large type and it has nothing except just the translation itself.
It has pictures.
That's right. It does. It does. Yeah, lovely little pictures. I don't know how much farther to go with this. Or if you have any questions just from what I've said. Carolyn.
I'm wondering how much this is usually a text for Zen practice. Is this sort of a standard Zen practice text?
It's not standard, but it's certainly studied. Yeah.
In Soto.
Donovan?
It's a similar question. Since for me the poem feels so much around developing, maintaining, sustaining, and working with bodhicitta, what's the closest word that, let's say, our ancestors, or we talk about now? You said in the Soto Zen tradition, you said... unbiased mind,
I would say unbiased loving mind. It's really another way of talking about what we would call agape love, you know, selfless love. We have it in the Christian tradition too, which is connected with Sophia, with wisdom. So it's very ancient part of Buddhist understanding or expression that wisdom and compassion are two aspects of something, of how we are.
I find it so interesting that it's translated as a awakened mind or way of thinking, and it's always described as in love and compassion. I'm
yes.
Not saying it's just
finding it. Yes, well, we think of mind mm-hmm. as up here, mm-hmm. but actually, citta also means heart. So sometimes they say it's heart mind, mm-hmm. or just heart. Mm-hmm. It's when the heart opens. Yeah.
Say something about the longing part. That's a concern. Longing for
wisdom.
Yes. Wisdom.
Well, that's the curious thing. And it's kind of a puzzle. Where our idea to come and sit came from. And yet it did come. To all of us in some way. So in here he just I get the commentaries and the actual poem confused now, but there's some talk about how it just appears. And then if we encounter a practice that resonates, then we begin to practice with it.
So all beings have this quality.
Yes. In Zen we say all beings are Buddha nature. So it's about the connection, the realization that if we're lucky, or who knows how it happens, but then we begin to cultivate it. And although it's tricky to talk about it because it can be, it can turn into some kind of big project. And it isn't that. It's that we surrender ourselves to it. And that itself is the cultivation, in a sense. Allowing ourself to open. As we're being opened, you could say. So it works, it has to work from two sides. Or it does work from two sides. I mean, there's not even a have to in there. I should be in there. It's just how we grow.
To that question, what kind of reverberated me when I read this first chapter today was that there is some kind of a feeling for me of verses on the faith mind, which is also a poem, and mm-hmm. which is also, you know, so that, so, so do you know if say, in Chan, in that tradition, this text was known. Because you said that there was ancient,
yes,
you know, tablets and the Silk Road. You didn't say where it was in the desert, but perhaps it was China or Mongolia.
Yes, it was.
I think it was. I've read it somewhere 2 years ago. It was Mongolia.
Yeah. You know, I'll look it up because I don't know. Yeah.
And what you said about in your talk about being impartial and being having this mind of the awakening mind becomes able to meet things, which is so much the verses on the faith mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's
the
word faith?
Faith,
faith
versus
on the faith mind. Faith. Third Zen picture.
Sense. You know, the one that begins. How does it begin? Simply said, it begins. Many translations there, but simply set aside the great ways. Easy for those
easy.
To set aside all preferences.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Does not pick and choose.
Yeah.
Yes, we studied that.
Yes. Yeah.
Sounds like the Bible too. I think there's the same verse.
It's the same wisdom.
I'm gonna call my mom and tell her that.
She'll be very happy.
She'll be scared.
Uh oh. Yeah.
There's a question of mine. Is the problem not being aware that we're picking and choosing versus being aware of picking and choosing? And
yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, that happens so often.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking of like my interactions with people, and in so I don't know, like I've looking back, I'm kind of realizing, gee, I've picked, well, either myself or the other person there's that middle, thinking that middle ground was missed.
Yes, yes. And Koban, when he describes this kind of bodhisattva practice, said it's like a narrow door and two people trying to get through it. And a bodhisattva lets the person he's with go through first. You know, after you, Alphonse.
Huh?
Well, then it's no problem. But if there's a problem, then you just step back and let them go. It's not like you're sacrificing yourself for the great sake or anything. It's just allowing the whole thing to happen rather than setting up some kind of contention, even if it's just a very small one of going first, you know, being so assertive that the other person is missed in some way.
Isn't that dangerous sometimes? Like,
yeah, it could be.
Are you supposed to just let the danger? I mean,
no, you're
chips fall where they may, kind of thing. Or,
well, sometimes, you know, if somebody's drowning, you jump in and try to save them, and you might not survive. You know, that kind of thing. And you don't measure everything out in increments and try to figure out what yours, you know, if there's something to do, you do it, it with as much care as possible, but with as much love and trust. Yeah, that's the word. Well, it's 8 o'clock. That was fast. Yeah.
The Jokoji newsletter is out, and there's a small talk with Angie in there. I think most of you have mailed it to the ones that are interested. Here it is. And then a box of Jokoji calendars showed up, and so I figured there's to give away. So if anybody needs a calendar, we'll have a calendar. This month is May is a nice picture of Koban and his brother. That's what's going on. And then Open Studio in Silicon Valley, San Jose, is happening this weekend, and I have some guides and information on that. And it's best on the
floor. And you're in it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, Chase Studio is open. Mm-hmm.
Kitty, did you have a question? No. Okay.
I should go first.
There are also some newsletters for Zendo. And if you'd like to get them from me tonight and take them away with the mailing labels and the postage stamps, that would be wonderful, and then pop them in the mail. You'll need to fold them in half, staple them, and put those two labels, the label and the stamp on. So see me afterwards, and I'll be very happy to distribute them to you. There's some beautiful artwork and poems from our Sangha members in this newsletter.
And it's a beautiful newsletter. Thank you.
Yes, yes.
It's really nice. Yeah.
And as your Eno this month, I need to find, the term escapes me, the person who rings the bells for the walk. And the
bell ringer.
Doan.
The Doan, yes. I knew it before. Anyway, for May, would anyone like to do that?
I can do it. I'll be gone one Tuesday, but I can do it this one.
Okay.
I'll cover the rest.
Please.
Okay. So do we need to arrange what date?
Donald and the
okay, great. Thank
you. We have a half day sit or one day sit this month.
Half day.
Oh.
16th.
Okay.
I can't.
12th. It's on the calendar right there.
Yeah, and I'll be gone that day. So
the circumstances of Wednesday.
Isn't that? No, I don't remember. Oh, of course, we have a calendar.
The 12th. And the study group's the 26th.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
On
that day also. Okay. So.
I'm 99% sure I can't. So if you need a dawn, go.
Okay, great. Well,
if I can't, then I'll tell you.
Okay, great.
This is for Saturday?
That's Saturday the 12th.
Okay. Carolyn, can you be here that Saturday?
I'll have to look and see. But you're not going to be here.
I won't. No. That's right.
Okay.
Getting back the 20th, I think. Is that right? Sunday the 20th. Okay. Thank you. This doesn't have to go.